Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. The other day, I looked for a book in my library and came across one that was written by a medical doctor with the name of Victor Coupleson from Australia. Back in his days, the 60s, he made a name for himself as being an expert in shark bites. Well, back in his days, since by today's knowledge, pretty much is outdated. The good thing is that hardly anybody remembers him, with the exception of one theory that he created, and he proposed the theory of the rock shark. This theory says that a single shark starts focusing on humans. Basically, it develops a taste for humans and does not switch back to regular food anymore. The theory does not say how the shark may have shifted to that food source, so basically, it's the lone shark that roams through the endless waters of the ocean who is mostly responsible for biting people and, of course, killing them, eating them, devouring them. Connected to the theory are two main errors: the comparison to land mammals and the seemingly proof of its existence, and Coupleson based his theory on the incident series that occurred in 1916 in Matawan. Remember, we talked about the Matawan Creek incidents and the two other bites right before that along the New Jersey coast, and concluded that these five incidents were not caused by a single shark, but at least three sharks from two different species. But for Coupleson, it was a single shark's havoc that was responsible for all five bites. Basically, it was the final proof for him that rock sharks do exist. The other error was the comparison to land mammals, especially tigers and lions. When they are not able to hunt anymore for whatever reason, then they go after the rather helpless humans. I don't want to delve into land mammals and how much or if they fit that description, but to focus on the erroneous assumption that rock sharks exist. I can understand the thinking process behind, but actually believing in something like that is really a bit too weird and unreal for my taste. Let's first look at the mental state of such a shark. First, it needed to have an extremely low threshold to approach people and be willing to go after one right away. Then it would have to live rather close to shore and remain there, because if it would go into deeper water, well, people are more scarce out there. Then they must have to overcome the handicap, what would have pushed them towards humans in the first place. And this handicap would be a physical one, because it is not able to hunt down regular prey anymore. But having such a handicap is normally a guarantee that they would be killed by other sharks. So this shark that is now handicapped would also have to develop a skill to avoid other sharks, other large sharks, that is. So they would have to be not just skillful again in avoiding those more powerful sharks, they would also have to remain powerful enough to go after people. So it seems a little illogical, since being able to defend itself against other sharks would reflect the main reason that it would not have to turn into a rogue. But you know what? Maybe Victor Coupleson simply assumed that a rogue is a shark who does not have a handicap, but just got into the taste of humans. If that is the case, then the theory could make some sense, and such a shark could theoretically exist. But even if such a shark would prefer humans, it would have to understand that the swimmer is the same as a surfer, as a wader, as a diver. So it would have to be a very smart animal. But a smart animal is not what one would accept when talking about a rogue, but just a powerful animal with a low threshold to go after unfamiliar objects, so rather simple. And of course, then there would be the inaugural kill of a person and its devouring, since somehow the sharks needed to develop a taste for a human being, and I doubt the shark developed a taste by just biting into someone and let go again. So it cannot have been, the beginning could not have been an exploratory bite. If we go back to the Matawan incident, which started further down the coast, then the first kill would have been an incident where the person was eaten, but that did not happen. So would the taste for humans just reflect a joy to kill rather than a food-oriented issue? If we look at the five incidents from that viewpoint of killing but not eating them, then yes. But could that be possible, to have a shark that likes to kill humans but not eat them? I have a hard time with that. I think this sounds more like fantasy than possible reality. But what shark species could we expect? Well, most likely a larger one. So tiger shark, bull shark, white shark. Basically, when you look at modern one, basically only a bull shark would fit the bill. Because Matawan Creek is actually a freshwater river. I mean, in the lower ends, of course, there's brackish, but the shark must be able to tolerate freshwater. Of course, even a white shark can swim into at least brackish water, but in Matawan Creek, the water was already pretty fresh, so I doubt that a white shark actually swam up there. So we would have all kinds of problems with this rock shark. So there's something else. The number of fatal incidents. Based on the definition of rogue, the shark prefers humans, right? So just one single fatal incident causes more than just a local stir. So how about two or even three? Yes, in Matawan Creek, we had two fatal incidents before the shark moved up, assuming as one, which is not up the Matawan Creek. But even in the Matawan Creek, the shark just bit people without actually taking a piece of flesh out of them or devouring them. So, but anyway, if we assume that such a shark would exist, people would hunt for them. So it would be very well known. And it could not be that we have a rogue in 1916 and then they vanish again. So, I mean, granted, there was a Mr. Schleicher who caught a rather small white shark in the Bay of Matawan, Matawan Creek. And after that, the series actually ended. But I doubt that this shark was anything to do with incidents, since the first two bites along the New Jersey coast suggest a much larger shark or sharks. A few days later, and that's really funny, a bull shark was actually caught well further up the creek where these incidents in Matawan happened. And the funny thing was that the guy who caught the shark was the same person who warned the people that a shark was swimming up the creek in the first place. But as history tells us, this person, a retired captain, was known as a drunk, so they ignored him, since no shark would swim up a freshwater river. Well, I guess they were proven wrong. Anyway, a bull shark would fit the bill regarding brackish or freshwater, but then it also would be too small for the New Jersey incidents. I guess the rogue shark theory creates more problems than offers answers. So why did Victor Kapelson come up with the idea in the first place? It was a time where all sharks had two attributes: being dangerous and indiscriminate. So a indiscriminate and dangerous animal goes after humans, well, seems logical. Would it have been known back then that sharks are not indiscriminate, that they have a very high threshold to approach humans, and so on? I guess Kapelson would never have formulated this idea. Well, this was back then, but unfortunately, this rock shark theory was picked up by a book writer. Well, I think we all know this man, and of course the book he wrote. It was Peter Benchley who wrote Jaws. Jaws basically was this rogue shark created by Victor Kapelson. Sad, huh? Well, what can you do? That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.